Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Paranormal Horizons.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter the world.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Pat Rice with my co-host,
Jason Ophir.
Hey, Jason, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. You know, as we were briefly discussing before, we were having a little bit of issues with Blog Talk. There's just some weird matrixy kind of problems with the show times. It got all scrambled up, so I was desperately trying to figure out what was going on with the times, and I did, so hopefully people out there will see the new show link so that they can join us this evening.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I did send out some posts to Facebook too, Jason, but for those of you that are already tuned in this evening on Paranormal Horizons, we want to thank friends, family. If you're a new listener, thanks for tuning in, and we have a great guest this evening, Jason. He has been on Paranormal Horizons in the past, and
yes,
his name is Aaron Bilbrey. He's with Dayton, Ohio Supernatural, and here in a few minutes we'll get him on live, but, you know, he does all kinds of interesting investigations in the Ohio area, and then he branches out, and he just did a actual investigation of Bobby Mackey's, which is, for those of you in the paranormal, you kind of, you know about Bobby Mackey's. So he's going to tell us about his findings that him and his team discovered, and I think they did that in early April, but he'll give us all the details on that.
Yeah, and for the people that are not quite as familiar with that location, that would be the episode of Ghost Adventures where Zach Baggins was in this in the back or down under or whatever, and there's supposedly a pit to hell, and he was antagonizing the spirits to come out from the pit of hell and get them. So that was that episode. And it's reputed to be an extraordinarily haunted location. So I know I'm very excited to hear about it. You know, because when I watch television, I don't necessarily believe everything I hear. So to actually get somebody on the show to talk about their own experience there, I think adds a lot of validity to it.
You know, it really does. And I have talked to, you know, some other folks just kind of throughout the last couple of years that have done investigation at Bobby Mackey's. And it has such an amazing history. It's this, you know, old, you know, really old building that had lots of different lives, if you will, you know, different things that happened there, and and all of that. And it's just interesting talking to different people about kind of what they find out and all of that. So Jason, what else is going on with you? Have you heard any other interesting paranormal news stories or anything this week? I've kind of been busy and haven't really been able to keep up with things, but have you found out anything lately that's interesting?
Oh, yes, I have. That's a very interesting story, but before I get to that, I wanted to welcome you back. I know you've had some stuff going on, and we missed you quite a lot the last couple of shows.
Baby.
Oh, baby.
I had to figure out a way to slide that little sound bite in. So.
Well, and that was great. That was our friend of Paranormal Horizons, William Becker, who is an author. So thank you, Jason. And yes, I've had some sad personal things going on. I've had a death that was very close to me, and, you know, such is life. And I, thank you for that. And I'm happy to be back to get my mind off of some challenging times in my life, you know?
Yes, and it's great to have you back. So
you.
I do have a news story, and it's a little shocking, but I want to remind the listeners that it does come from a little bit of a dubious site. But the title of the story is Caged Humans Being Held at the Dulce Base. Now, for
what?
Those of the listeners, apparently the government/aliens are holding humans in captivity in subterranean base being used for crossbreeding. But I should probably give a little background to the listeners. If you have not heard of Dulce Base, it's basically being called the new Area 51. It's located in New Mexico under Mount Archuleta. And apparently some videos have been secreted out of the base, and you can find those on YouTube. Mm. Which apparently show humans in, you know, huge vials. And so basically the story behind this base is that it is a major base for aliens and the government. So if you were to enter the base, you'd be encountering lots of aliens. And apparently they're doing a lot of nefarious activity in this Dulce base. And there were a couple of documentaries that were done. I don't remember the names of them, that they can be found on YouTube, that tell a little bit more about this base. And it's really interesting. And also a little bit more backstory of this base is this: the story about this base broke in, I believe it was 1979. There was a contractor out there, and they were doing some really deep drilling. I think from what I recall, he stated that, you know, they were building an actual human base, and they, you know, started to do the initial drilling. Well, they broke through into a subterranean cavern, and they were lowered down there. And when they got down there, they encountered these aliens that were inhabiting this subterranean realm that they weren't aware of. Well, a firefight broke out between this contractor and a couple armed guards, and this one of the gray aliens basically killed both guards with some sort of energy weapon, and also melted off the contractor's hand. And I think he was supposedly close to death from this death
ray. Oh, my
gosh. Or whatever you call it. So if anybody's passing through Dulce, New Mexico, and you're having engine trouble, you might want to get help there stat, because
so
you don't want to
like
end up...
D-U-L-C-E?
D-U-L-C-E, and it's been a buzz. It's not new. This story from this place has been going on for many, many years. My personal opinion is it's all untrue. I find it hard to believe. I haven't
seen... Well, I know you're always the skeptic, Jason, and that's what I like about you. And, of course, where I go is I'm like, ooh, that sounds like... well, I think it sounds a little crazy, too, but you know what it reminded me of when you were talking about this is, did you see that movie, Paul?
Oh, yes. That was a funny movie.
Love. And for those of you out there listening, if you haven't seen the movie Paul, you know, it's a comedy about two sci-fi fanatics from England coming to the U.S. of A., and they encounter a real alien who's a gray. And anyway, that's just kind of what it reminded me of when you were talking about that, Jason. Like, you know, there was really a place that was had lots of aliens and all of that. So
Paul was kind of the alien. Paul was kind of the equivalent of Ted, but an alien. Ted from the movie Ted. A foul-mouthed alien.
I think Ted was an alien.
Yeah, he might well been.
I mean, a talking teddy bear. So, with a Boston accent, but I know. Another very funny movie. But anyway, we're not here to do movie reviews. We are here to talk about the world of the paranormal. And I think our guest, Aaron Bilbrey, is on the line. And so we'll go ahead and get him on. And, you know, Aaron, like I said before, is involved with Dayton, Ohio Supernatural. And he has a really great Facebook page, Jason. And for you that are listening out there, he does a ghost hunting tip every day. A ghost hunting tip every day. And he also does lots of cool reviews on local haunted locations. So this guy is just all together in the paranormal. And we're anxious to hear what he has to say about the Bobby Mackey nightclub and honky-tonk place. Because just for those of you that don't know, Bobby Mackey's, they still have live music there. And it's in Kentucky. And that's what you call a honky-tonk. And but then there's all this other, you know, mystery and past history around that location, which we'll talk about here this evening. So, hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Paranormal Horizons with myself, Pat Rice, and my co-host, Jason Ophir. And don't forget that you can listen to this episode later and any past episodes on blogtalkradio.com. Just search for Paranormal Horizons.
Yes, and we were talking earlier before the show started, and I'm really excited to get to Aaron. And do you want to click the button, or shall I?
Hello?
Aaron.
Hi.
Hey, you are live on Paranormal Horizons. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. I just noticed that Pat got disconnected. That was weird.
Oh, okay. Well, we got her back then?
She'll get back. I know that Blog Talk is having issues because I got an alert earlier that they were having trouble with their call-in numbers. So, and I've been having a hell of a time with times. Like, it's just really weird, but we're trying to sort through it. But how have you been? It's been a little while since you've been on the show.
Yeah, it's been about a month and a half. I've been great. We've done, at the end of March, about March 27th, we did Bobby Mackey's, and then a couple weeks ago we did Sedansville Rectory again. So we're keeping busy, and we got a couple more things on the horizon. But I understand it's probably Bobby Mackey's you guys want to talk about the most.
Oh, yeah, we got
to
hear
about
that.
I'm back. My phone went dead for a minute. Sorry about that, you guys. I'm back. So,
okay.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for calling in this evening. And
thanks,
go ahead, Jason. I know you were kind of leading that conversation, but just wanted to let you know I was back in the chat.
You know, with technology, it's amazing how much stuff can go wrong.
Right.
Funny.
Especially with Blog Talk. Blog Talk's notorious for having weird glitches, but it sounds like that was your phone. I was a little concerned it was going to be their call-in numbers, but it doesn't sound like it.
No, I think it was my phone, so apologies for that, everybody. But, so, Aaron, last time you were on the show, it was back in, late March, and then right after that, like you said, did you say on March 27th you did the Bobby Mackey investigation?
Yes, exactly.
Awesome, and so you and your team went and spent the night there?
Well, we scheduled it from 9 until 2. everybody can schedule it in like increments of 5 hours. So you can either do like 8 to 1 or 9 to 2 or 10 to 3.
Okay.
Type deal. So we chose the 9 to 2, and we went. It's hosted by Wanda Kay, who is an employee of Bobby Mackey's for years, and she's written a book about
right.
the place. She was just on last week's Ghost Adventure episode where Zach interviewed her and Bobby Mackey.
Interesting.
Yeah, Ghost Adventures has a new show called Aftershocks, which is just Zach interviewing like the owners and workers of the different places they've investigated.
Mm-hmm.
So he was actually interviewing Bobby Mackey and Wanda in last week's interview. So that was interesting. But we
yeah,
met.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Hopefully I can catch that maybe as a rerun or something. But we want to know how you and your team did. And if you wouldn't mind, Aaron, if you could just give a little bit of history for any new listeners this evening about Bobby Mackey's. It's located in Wilder, Kentucky. And
right.
It is a nightclub, you know, and, you know, people still go there and hear music, but it's got some very dubious past. So if you wouldn't mind sharing that with the listeners, that would be great.
Yeah, and, you know, I haven't memorized the entire history of it, but I know there's been, like, one of the female workers there was beheaded, and I think fire, and there's been numerous...
Mm-hmm.
Numerous
and suicide.
Bad things that have gone.
Yes. Yeah, there's been suicide there too, right?
Yes, exactly. And it goes back for years, and there's been murders there and everything else.
And the building itself, it wasn't always a nightclub. Wasn't it also like a
slaughterhouse?
A slaughterhouse, because it's right by the river. And
right.
then I think, wasn't it also a house of...
ill repute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a house of whatever we want to call that, you know, drinking and,
right.
and maybe some good times for some, so, yeah.
Right, exactly, and it's got one of those, it's got a big hole in the basement that, you know, Zach has referred to as the portal of hell, and...
Mm-hmm.
And all that, I think, where they found, you know, body parts, possibly the head of the person who was decapitated. And things have been thrown, you know, up out of there at people and all kinds of stuff. But as far as our night there, it was, we found more than we thought happened after we go home and review evidence. Which is the case a lot of times. You'll think hardly anything ever happened, and then you go home and review your evidence, and there you go. You got all kinds of stuff on there.
Well, do tell. What did you guys find?
Yeah, I've got to hear about it.
Well, while we were there, we heard what sounded like drinks being poured during one point. That was something we could actually hear with our own ears. And... I think part of our group, when we split off into two different groups, and one group went in to where, like, all the bank vault is and where all the receipts and transactions are stored, and I think they heard, like, papers shuffling and things like that in there. And then as the evening went on, well, we started out, basically Wanda takes you through, and she's with you the whole time. Which is unusual for me. I'm used to sort of being left to our own devices as to where to go. Like, if she hadn't been there, I probably would have had half the group on the first floor and half the group on the second floor or the basement, and then sort of switched back.
So is it
back.
Just two levels, Aaron? Basement and then a main floor?
Yeah, there's the main floor and the basement, and there's an upper floor where... you know, people like Carl, the guy who got possessed, he lived up there on the top floor. So we had to do a floor at a time, our whole group. We couldn't split up. I mean,
I
it's still a working it's still a working bar, so, you know, there's all kinds of alcohol there. I can understand why they'd want to have somebody present with you, you know, the whole time you're there. And,
they didn't want you guys, like, having a beer or anything.
Well, they don't say that.
I'm kidding.
And it really wasn't a problem. Wanda is super nice, and she provided a lot of insight for us throughout the night. And she even complimented us because we're not aggressive in our ghost hunting. We're more calm. We don't really instigate or anything like that. And she was complimenting us for that. She really liked us because of that.
Mm-hmm. And, you're professional.
Right, exactly. And so we did like the top level first and didn't get too much up there. There was a couple photos I took of orbs, which you can see on my Facebook page. There's actually an orb right above Wanda in one of the pictures I posted recently. And then we moved down and did the first floor, the ground level floor, which is the bar. And did a lot of EVP sessions up there, but didn't really hear anything or see anything at the time. And then we moved down to the cellar, which there's a lot of rooms down there. There's probably 10 or 12 different rooms just in the cellar. It's very large, and their dressing rooms are down there. And that's also, of course, where the pit is, which it looks like it's been filled in somewhat with dirt and stuff.
Guys pick up any activity down there then in the what we'll call the basement cellar?
Right.
I'm kind of getting the picture here, Aaron, and it had lots of little rooms, which may have been who knows what they did down there, but it sounds like it was pretty big.
Yeah, it is, and like one of the dressing rooms has like a sort of red ambient light in it, which is creepy enough, and another one has like a blue ambient light, and we did one room all together, the six of us and Wanda K, and we turned out all the lights, because supposedly if you turn off all the lights in this room and stare at this wall, you're supposed to be able to see things move around, and we sat in the dark in there for, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes, and some of us kept seeing a sort of glow on the floor. Some of us could see it, and some of us couldn't see it. And we were going back and forth, do you see something glowing on the floor? And some people say yes, some people say no. And then we turned on the lights, and it was a white ball on the floor, like a rubber ball. And Wanda said, oh, yeah, that ball holds light. So we were able to debunk that. We knew that that wasn't anything. But on our recordings, we have several things. I asked at one point for them to say the name of one of our crew, and you can clearly hear the word Kevin, which is one of our team members. And me and my team member Krista was sitting in the dressing room with Wanda, and this was later in the evening after everybody had left. Half of our team left about 1 o'clock, and me and Krista and Wanda were the only ones left, so we decided to do one of the dressing rooms, and we started hearing all kinds of stuff. We would hear footsteps outside. We asked, I had the spirit box on, and I said, can you tell us who's down here? And I very clearly said, Wanda is here. They definitely know Wanda there, because that was the name that came through the box, and it was no questioning what it was saying.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, I think we might have a question in the chat room. Jason, are you monitoring that?
I am, and, you know, I apologize. I'm a little distracted because I'm chatting at the same time. But we do have two questions in chat, and first question is they wanted to know if there were any cemeteries around Bobby Mackey's that you were aware of.
There is. There's one, if you go to Wanda Kay's page, if you look her up on Facebook, I know there's links to all her sites. And there's four things that Wanda Kay hosts. She hosts Thompson House, Wolf House, Sedansville, and Bobby Mackey's. And but there's also a cemetery in the area that she gives tours of. And I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But if they look up Wanda Kay and go to her websites, they're bound to see that cemetery listed.
Okay, cool. And then the second question in chat is the listener Joe was wondering where they buried the headless woman. Where's that supposed to be at?
You know, I don't have the answer to that off the top of my head. I'm sure you can find it somewhere on the internet, but I'm not. I couldn't say what they did with those body parts.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I had one quick question here myself. You know, mm-hmm. Oftentimes when I go into like a haunted location or a location that's believed to be haunted, I've walked into locations where it feels like walking into a wall where you feel a real strong kind of imposing energy. And I was wondering if you or your team at any time during your investigation felt, you know how you feel the presences.
Sure.
Did you feel that at all?
Yes. Just as soon as we arrived at the place and you're looking at it from the outside, you get sort of a foreboding feeling, and you can definitely feel the thickness in the air when you go in there. And it seemed to get a little heavier as the night went on. Wanda had told us as soon as we got there, she said, now, if you have any spirit boxes or obelisks or anything like that, she said they'll say enough when they're done with you. Sure enough, about 1:30 or around 2 o'clock in the morning, the obelisk said enough. And so we definitely took that as a sign to get out of there at that point.
So, Aaron, at any time then, continuing kind of on Jason's question, did you or any of your team feel fear or threatened? Or, I mean, what was kind of the overall feeling there?
We were all pretty, I don't think anybody felt fear or depressed mm-hmm. in any way. There were times where you'd feel like if there was something in the room that it left, things like that, but none of us ever felt like we were in danger or anything like that. I will say several of us, when we were in the cellar, felt like, off balance, like just standing, you would stumble, or walking around, you felt sort of off kilter, like you were a little
mm-hmm.
bit dizzy.
That's interesting. And so in the basement is where that opening was, which probably used to be maybe a well or water or something that mm-hmm. you described was, you know, covered up. But, you know, based on past history, some things happened down there. So, and then some
right.
have referred to that as the gate to hell, correct?
Right. And I think in this last episode of Ghost Adventure, Zach kind of almost apologized for saying that. He's the ghost there, apparently Zach's name is a trigger for them. So if you like say Zach's name, they don't like it very well, and they'll scratch you or harm you. That's according to Wanda.
So he must have really pissed him off.
Yeah. And he even said in this recent episode that, you know, he didn't know as much then as he does now, and he wouldn't have, like, called him out the way he did at the time. So maybe he's grown up a little bit.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier, Aaron, that when your team went back and listened to the, you know, the tapes and things like that, that you kept hearing or you heard the name Kevin, which
yeah.
and that was someone on your team?
Yeah, in fact, I had just said, can you say the name, Kevin? I usually ask them to say their names, but if I'm not getting anything like that, then I'll ask them to repeat our names just to see if they're paying attention.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it was that sort of thing where I said, can you say Kevin? And, you know, you could hear it come over the spirit box.
Wow. Well, that's pretty validating.
The spirit box is the spirit box the one that scans frequencies? I can't remember.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it. Yeah, and that's also the one that said Wanda is here when we asked who was down there. That came through the spirit box.
Yeah, I've never been a believer of them, but you know, occasionally I do hear these compelling stories. You know, like what are the odds if it's totally random that you're gonna get a specific message with somebody's name, you know, it makes me wonder.
Right, and I used to feel the same way. I thought, well, you know, it's just something coming over the radio. But you know, we went to Mansfield Prison, and we had all kinds of stuff with the speaker box, and it was all prison related. We would be outside the warden's office, and we'd have something come over the spirit box that said the warden sent her. Or, you know, we'd be in the main, one of the main wings of the jail, and we'd hear somebody say, they're all in, close the doors, all stuff pertaining to prisons. And so the more you listen, the more I listen, the more I kind of believe in the spirit boxes, just for that reason. Same with the obelisks. Some people, you know, the obelisk does tend to say certain words over and over again, but you sort of have to listen for the words that it doesn't say very often. And
now, what kind of device is that, Aaron?
That's the one Zach and his team use it sometimes. It's programmed with about 2,000 English words, and supposedly spirits can manipulate it and talk through that, and it comes out sort of a synthesized voice like Stephen Hawking's voice. And we've had some interesting results with the obelisk as well. Just recently at Sedansville Rectory, we had quite a few pretty specific things with the obelisk.
So is it a device that, like, you hold it in your hand, and does it have some kind of frequencies related to it, or how does it work?
Yeah, how would
they
manipulate that? That's weird.
Well, yeah, and I used to think that too. I don't know all the science behind it, but I know it detects several things like differences in temperature and atmospheric pressure and all these different things. So I tend not to hold it in my hand. I like to set it down somewhere because I think your hand can trigger words on its own. And like we went to Sedansville Rectory 2 weeks ago, which is also going to be on an episode of this Aftershocks with Zach interviewing people.
Oh, cool. But let's give some history now on that place, Sedansville Rectory. Aaron, I think we talked to you last time when we talked to you in March. Now, isn't that a famous, wasn't it a mental institution?
No, it's a house right next to a church that's now abandoned called Our Lady of Perpetual Help, and it's where the Catholic priests lived, and they taught school there and all.
Oh, right,
that. So,
rectory, of course, yes.
Yeah, and there's been all kinds of bad stuff associated with that place.
And so it's abandoned now?
No, it's owned by a woman named Terry and a guy named Tim, and they've restored it. The whole house is, except for the attic and the basement, the whole house is really nice and pristine and looks probably as it did 100 years ago. But you know, when the Catholic priests were there, there were allegations of molestation of the priest and the kids. And then one of the preachers was killed nearby by a train. We don't know why he didn't hear or see the train coming. There was a kid, like a 10-year-old boy, who had been, like, had a noose around his neck and was, like, nailed to the front door.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And then when it was abandoned, they had there was dog fights that happened in the basement. And
but kind of lots of negativity.
Yes. So, you know, they believe that besides the human spirits that are there, there's also a demon there. And it's my feeling that the demon lives on the second floor and most of the human spirits live on the first floor.
Now, why is there believed to be a demon? Like, where did... Who came up with that determination? Was there something, an incident that had happened there?
Well, yeah, there's a room upstairs that's affectionately titled the Creepy Room, where it's been cited several times. They think it's a demon called a Puck Wedgie, which is like a 2 or 3 foot demon. If you look it up online, there's all kinds of pictures of Puck Wedgies. Actually, when the Ghost Adventures crew went there, they took a picture, and in one of the stills, you can sort of see like a demon face with horns. And also, numerous people have been scratched and pushed, including members of my team that have been there. And it also seems to really react negatively to any holy water being thrown about or any singing of Christian songs or prayers or anything like that. You can almost always hear groaning and growling mm-hmm. on your EVPs from that place.
Wow. Hey, Aaron, if I could just interrupt for a second, I just wanted to remind anyone that's just tuning in that you're listening to Paranormal Horizons on blogtalkradio.com. Our special guest this evening is Aaron Bilbrey with Dayton, Ohio Supernatural, and we've been talking about some of the locations that he's investigated. And we're going to get back to talking with Aaron here in just a moment. And also, if you want to join the chat room, you can go to beyondtheedgeofreality.com, where we have a live chat room if you'd like to ask Aaron any questions. And let's take just kind of a short break, Jason, and then we'll get back to chit-chatting here on Paranormal Horizons.
Absolutely. Sounds good. I'll pick something from our magical list.
This is author Edwin F. Becker, and I hope you're enjoying listening to Jason Ophir and Pat Rice on Paranormal Horizons, only on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter the world of the paranormal.
Well, that's about as short a break as you can have, Pat.
Yeah, well, you know, and we always like to just have a little break when we can. And again, Aaron, thanks for being with us this evening. But I want to get back to this Sedumsville Rectory that you're talking about, which was a Catholic school that was located there, and then right next to it, this rectory, which was a house, and now, and which, by the way, Aaron, I cannot believe that you said Our Lady of Perpetual Help. I went to Catholic school with the very same name, but it was in California.
Hey, you know, I went to a Catholic military school, too, and let me tell you, those nuns are ruthless.
Yeah, well, I didn't go to military school, but we have a lot of funny, crazy family Catholic stories, but I just couldn't believe it when you said that, Aaron. So But anyway, so how do these people stand living in this house with this?
Well, they don't live there. They bought this place, and apparently, you know, they might have had plans at one point of living there, but they've had a bad time with this house, and they're not even sure how much longer they're going to have it open for people to investigate anymore at this point. They've had such bad things happen ever since they moved into that place.
Yeah, that would be pretty freaky, especially now. Tell the audience again, Aaron, the name of that demon that you mentioned that is allegedly in this old Sedumsville Rectory house. What was the name of that demon again?
It's a type of demon called a Puckwudgie, which is Puckwudgie, I believe. And, you know, I've been there six times now, and the first time I went there was probably a year and a half ago. And that night, one of our people, right around 3 a.m., we were in that creepy room, and they got scratched. And then one of my team members says to me, "Your eyes are red," and I didn't think anything of it, but she's like adamant, "No, your pupils are blood red." And
ew.
Oh, creepy. That doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the best part of that was later when I went home and listened to the EVPs, right when she's telling me, you know, my eyes are red, you can hear a very nasty voice say, "I want Aaron to be effed," basically.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And you went back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be high-tailing it.
Yeah, that first night after I left there, I said, "I'm never going back there again." And, of course, now I've been back several times. And when I went back 2 weeks ago, at 3 a.m. in the creepy room, my girlfriend says to me, "Your eyes are red." I was like,
wow.
Because the only two times anybody's ever said my eyes were red like that is at 3 a.m. in that room, about a year and a half apart. And,
yeah, I mean, the only time anybody said my eyes were red was when I had been doing a lot of drinking, but...
You were going to say smoking.
Well, okay, let's not go there, but... anyway, now, Jason, have you ever heard of this kind of demon, this Puckwudgie?
I have not heard of it, and as you know or may know, I'm not a big believer in the demon thing,
mm-hmm.
but I was curious what Aaron thought about which location did he feel was more haunted, Bob Mackey's or the Rectory?
Personally, I'm drawn towards the Rectory. It keeps... pretty much anybody who goes there feels like drawn back over and over again, and I found that to be the case amongst several of my team members. As soon as we go, we're thinking about, you know, when are we going to go back again, just because the place is so busy. I come home, and almost every time I go there, I've got at least 60 EVPs.
What if the demon is trying to lure you back there to get its claws in you? Is that possible?
That could be the case. You know, you just don't know for sure. We've heard so many different EVPs out of there, men, women, children, a lot of kids screaming for help or for somebody to let them out or let them in. And we've even heard the kids... have called my name a couple of different occasions, and of course it could be a demon pretending to be a kid. You just don't know. But from everything I've heard, it seems like there are really children there, it's hard to say. I've heard children laughing. I've heard other ghost spirits say, like, something comical, and you could hear, like, the little kids laugh on there. So it's like you're not only hearing them interact with you, but you're hearing them interact with each other.
Interesting.
I have one EVP. It's a man saying, almost singing, top of the ground today, almost as if somebody had asked him, you know, how are you doing today? And he's saying top of the ground instead of under the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And right after he says that, you can hear, like, a little girl laugh, like that made her laugh. So that's one reason why I think that maybe it really is kids and not the demon, because I can't see this first voice interacting with the demon. But it's confusing.
But, you know, Aaron, it's interesting to me when you talk about this rectory, because, you know, based on the Catholic religion and, you know, the Catholics, they definitely believe, you know, in, you know, the evil and the demons, and there's even present day, you know, a Catholic priest that act as, you know, that do exorcisms and things like that. So when you think about the rectory being Catholic and then a demon hanging out there, which I'm not saying that's not possible, but, you know, you just kind of, makes you kind of wonder, like, what really happened there, you know, and you know, good, bad, evil. Unfortunately, not, you know, every person in the world that's ever said that they were, you know, a priest or believed in God, that didn't necessarily mean they were a good person, to your point, where, or to the history of that place where you said some things happened that history knows that happened with children and things like that, which could have also drawn, you know, some of the evil. But I find that a really interesting set of circumstances that, you know, and like you said, it, yeah, go ahead.
Definitely, and, you know, before I ever went there, I wanted to get some holy water, so I called my local Catholic church and talked to one of the preachers or one of the priests there, and, you know, I told him I was a ghost investigator, and I told him I was going to investigate a place that I thought had a demon, and he said, meet me tomorrow, and I'll, you know, bless some holy water, some water for you.
Yeah, they take it very seriously, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I would suggest anybody going to a place that they think is might have a demon to do the same thing, just call up your local Catholic church, and they'd probably be more than willing or to just go ahead and bless some water for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to the history, you know, of this rectory, and it's in Ohio, right?
Yeah, in Cincinnati, almost directly on the river, which, you know, a lot of haunted places are near running water, which is thought to be one of the reasons why some places are haunted, is because of the energy surrounding those places.
Yeah, I've heard that before too, Aaron, and for the listeners out there, and Jason, I think you and I have talked to a couple of people here and there on the show that they say that water, that spirits are, you know, evil, good or good, can that somehow, I don't know what the energy of the water does, but there's something about that where spirits are attracted to that, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, we've heard that quite a lot about water kind of amplifying the energies, and I don't know that I've ever heard a distinct theory behind it. I'm sure there is one, but I've encountered that a lot talking to people, and they don't even realize it. But when somebody's telling me, I had one time somebody was telling me, you know, they were living on a haunted boat, and then it just clicked with me, and I mentioned, oh, the water, and I mentioned it to him, and he never thought of it. So maybe there's something to it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I mean, there's a lot of haunted mills and lighthouses and naval ships and everything else, and I think it's all associated with water, perhaps.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, Aaron, what does your team have coming up next? Do you guys have any other, you know, interesting locations that you're going to be investigating?
Yeah, definitely. I know we're going to go back to Saddamsville probably in a couple months again.
Mm-hmm.
But next month we're going to do Thornhaven Manor in Indiana. And it was it's an old mansion. It's owned by somebody, but nobody lives there. They don't have any electric or running
mm-hmm.
water. So it was on an episode of Ghost Adventures probably 3 or 4 months ago, a new episode. So they've been there recently. And it's really an inexpensive one to have been on Ghost Adventures. It's only, I think the rate we're going, it's like $120 for your whole group, which is pretty cheap.
Yeah, so maybe we can kind of hear about that one, too, after you do that investigation, because you just have, you know, and I think in your neck of the woods, if you will, there's, you know, let's face it, older, you know, cities and towns and so forth, they have more history. And several years ago, I used to have to travel for my work to a, it was in Missouri, and it was a old meat packing plant that had been converted into a call center. And, you know, and it was, you know, an old area, and I remember, you know, getting to know one of the employees there, and he said, "Don't go sit in the back of the building." And I was like, "Why?" He goes, "Because there's a ghost back there." And then, of course, me going, "Oh, really?" You know, but he would not allow. I mean, he was actually like trying to protect me. And then he gave me all this other interesting history about the area. But it was an old area, you know. And you know, Jason and I living on the West Coast, definitely there's some haunted things. But seem to have a lot of opportunity for some real good historic things. So it would be wonderful to talk to you again.
Yes,
yeah, definitely. I'd love that. And there, you're right, there are a lot of places in Ohio or a neighboring state like Kentucky or Indiana or West Virginia for us to go. And, you know, we've been to several big places, and there's probably just as many left that we haven't been to and keep discovering. So
yeah.
We're going to keep at it. If we don't do at least one a month, we get sort of antsy, so.
Yeah, definitely know that feeling, and I know Jason has done investigations. I haven't been out on that many, but I just wanted to go back really quick to the Bobby Mackey experience that you had, and, you know, you were saying that after spending the 5 hours that you did from 9 to 2 p.m., or 2 a.m., excuse me, and then you went back and you listened to all these tapes, and so you really felt validated that Bobby Mackey's did have, you know, quite a bit of, call it what you will, hauntings, spirits hanging around, or, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we all were expecting, you know, pipes to be flying off the shelves and hearing all sorts of weird voices, which we didn't. And so I think at the time we were a little bit disappointed, but definitely after going home and, you know, once you find 30 or 40 different things on your recordings, you sort of feel a little better about
mm-hmm.
it all.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I definitely recommend it to anybody to go check out.
Well, listen, Aaron, you know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you here on Paranormal Horizons. And now, Jason, are there any more questions in the chat room for Aaron that you're seeing, or any questions you have? Okay.
No more questions. I do want to thank him for coming on the show such short notice. Because we were anxious to hear what happened there. But now you've got me interested in this rectory, and I've got to look into this demon thing. It's intriguing me.
Yeah, you definitely should. That Facebook page and the woman who owns it, she has a blog, and she just recently wrote some pretty interesting things about the place. So Her name's Terry Scott. And if you go to the Sedansville Rectory page on Facebook, you can read all about it.
Very interesting. And now, Aaron, your Facebook page, just for everyone out there listening, is Dayton, Ohio Supernatural, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And I love your Facebook page, by the way. Like I said, I love your, you know, ghost hunting tip of the day, and you really have a great Facebook page. And so after you do that next investigation, let us know so we can do a follow up on that.
Okay.
Yeah, we did have a comment in chat that said maybe next time we have you on, maybe you can send us some of your better EVPs, and we can play those during the show.
That would be awesome. I'd love to do that.
That'd be a great idea. All right, Aaron. Well, listen, we're going to sign off for now, and again, thanks for staying up. I know it's later, you know, in the evening where you are, and we'll talk to you in, you know, maybe a month or so after you've done that investigation. Here on Blog Talk Radio, Paranormal Horizons.
Thank you so much. You guys have a good night.
All right,
thanks,
good night. Well, all right, Jason, wow. I just love hearing about the Bobby Mackey, and I'm with you. I'm kind of intrigued about this rectory now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about demons, but I need to look into this one, and I got to... It was typed in chat. I'm trying to look for the name again, but I've never heard of that. So, Puck Wedgie. I need to find out what exactly that is. And one of the things I wanted to ask him, but I wasn't sure if he'd know the answer, is a lot of these demonologists say that they have, you know, that demons have a hierarchy, and I was wondering where the Puck Wedgie fit in. And to me, from his description, it kind of would seem to me that maybe that would be a lower-level demon. But that's all speculation on my part.
But that's very interesting, and that would be a good conversation with Aaron. And, you know, throughout my radio career, if you will, I had the opportunity a couple of times, and I think you might also, Jason, you know, on other radio shows that we've done, I've been able to talk with Archbishop File, and he is a Catholic priest, obviously, and he is just and he heads up one of the exorcism groups for the Catholic Church in California.
Yep.
And he is such an interesting person to talk to, and he just, you know, he kind of explains what they believe and, you know, what the Catholics believe, and, you know, very much believe in, you know, good and bad and demons. And then he also has experiences to share, and some of them have really kind of creeped me out, I have to say. But he's not trying to do that. He's just kind of telling it like it is. So it would be interesting if he knows about this demon also. And I think I'll send him a Facebook message and ask him, because I'm friends with him on Facebook. Well, Paranormal Horizons is friends with him on Facebook. So, and we've been trying to get him on the show. He's just such a busy guy.
Yeah, he's really interesting to talk to. And, you know, I don't know. I remember one of the last times that I talked to him, he was actually attacked by a demon and nearly killed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the specifics of that, but me, you know, I've always been kind of a skeptic, but when you talk to Archbishop Ron Fail, I mean, he's very convincing and analytical about some of the events that he's experienced over the years.
Well, I know he is. And so we'll try to get him on. And then also I've been working on a gentleman actually here in Oregon, which is where we broadcast from. That is very well versed on Bigfoot, which, you know, is one of my favorite subjects.
Well, we need
and
Bigfoot.
He and I have kind of been playing some telephone tag, but I'm hoping to get him on the show here in the very near future. Who knows, even maybe next week. So, you know, it's kind of, you and I work hard on getting guests, but everyone is so, there we go. Everyone is so busy that often we're booking people at the last minute, and we appreciate everyone tuning in here on Paranormal Horizons. And Jason, before we sign off, I did want to mention that you and I, we recently went to the third annual Oregon Ghost Conference in Oregon City. And that was really a great event. And we met a lot of neat people. And again, we're just kind of working on booking, you know, various people. We met some interesting authors, other ghost hunters, psychics. I just thought it was a great wealth of people. And I wanted to thank the producers of that show who worked so hard on putting that on. A White Light Paranormal was instrumental in helping to put that event on with Rocky and William, who are the creators of that event. So I didn't get to go all 3 days, but...
And it gets busier every year. I mean, it's...
I know.
There was quite a few more people this year than there was last year. It's a great little event, and like you're saying, it's great to get out there and network, because I think... You know, oftentimes on the shows we get people from all over the world or all over the country, and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like we had conversations in the past, you know, we need to sneak in a few locals every now and then.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, our friends White Light Paranormal, they do a show on, Seth does a show on Blog Talk Radio. We got to hang out with him for a little bit, and you know, we talk to people on Facebook, but I'm one of those people that when I get to meet someone in person, it sort of just, you know, just makes the relationship even better, you know. And I just encourage everybody that if you are in Oregon for next year to go to that event or, you know, any local events that you might be able to go to like that, because the paranormal world just seems to be getting bigger and bigger, Jason.
It's growing exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
I can attest to that. There's, you know, so many groups and so many people out there in the paranormal, which is great. You know, I've talked about it in the past. You know, I'm not real happy with a lot of the fakery and the drama out there. But
yeah.
There's a lot of great people out there also that have amazing stories to tell. And we certainly would like to get people on the show. And I want to mention that, you know, if anybody out there has a great story to tell, you know, you can certainly get in contact with myself. The best way to do that is via Facebook, Jason Ophir, Jason O-F-F-I-R, and I think I'm the only one in the world with that name, so it should
I
be pretty easy.
I think you are. Yeah, and then also our regular Facebook page, Paranormal Horizons, you can send a message there too, which we will get.
Yes, we need to send some love that way.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, and you know, we you know, Beyond the Edge of Reality, thank you for letting us use your chat room this evening. And he's got a Facebook page and lots of interesting shows out there. And yeah, so we'll be on next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, Jason, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons, where you never know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
and
it'll be a mystery.
yeah, and you know, sometimes we just kind of open up and talk to people about things that are going on in the world, and sometimes we have a guest, our friend, friend of Paranormal Horizons, Dave Harms. If he has time, he's a busy person, he'll often check in with us, and we just have some great conversations, and we always invite others to join us as well.
And before we sign off, I do want to just remind the listeners that if you were listening to the beginning of the show, stay away from Dulce, New Mexico.
I know.
Because you don't want to end up
all these aliens
in a vial
and government and stuff. I mean, my gosh, you might get abducted and, you know, end up there. But, yeah, so... Well, all right, Jason. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure to chat with you about things that are going on in the world and all of our friends of Paranormal Horizons. I think I learn something every episode, and the world is an interesting place.
It is interesting. Oh, one more thing I wanted to mention real quick.
Yeah.
I had, and this, you know, I'm a big ogre biker. I mean, I'm imposing. And to be honest with you, Pat, I'm not very bright. But when we were talking about water and ghost activity and stuff,
yeah.
I had this, it was like a shaft of life descended from the heavens and gave me, I don't know if you call it an epiphany or whatever, but it occurred to me that because we were talking about water and how it amplifies activity, that, you know, aren't people like 90% water?
Yeah.
Like, what now?
Wow.
This might be a stretch, but what if, I have always believed that people are haunted more so than locations. What if people have a different amount of water in their bodies, and people with a higher water, I don't even know if that's possible. I'm not a biologist.
Well,
or anything.
If you're a bigger person,
well,
you have
I know.
Water.
Yeah. So what,
wow.
what if there's a connection there? I could be breaking new paranormal ground here this evening.
Well, I think that's interesting, and we need to explore that topic a little bit more. For
absolutely.
Sure. Awesome. Hey, that yeah, you're right about that. So, all right. Well, listen, don't forget, everybody, you can listen to this episode and all of our past episodes. Just go to the archive area of Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio. And, hey, everybody, be good to each other. And we'll talk to you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.